Hey, this is Mason. Welcome to another edition of Anime Attic. I wanted to give a little preface this time because this episode is a little weird. I have a super duper awesome guest, Alexi Wasser, who I have been a huge, incredible fan of for years. And as a result, we got into a massive conversation where we went off on wild tangents, as well as talking about the anime. But I felt it best to break this episode into two parts. If you are listening to this part, part A, this is actually the second part of our conversation, and this is where we actually talk about the anime, which in this case is FLCL. If you want to hear the first part of our conversation, that would be part B, which is where we talk about non-anime stuff, just life and broken relationships and my personal fandom of Alexi Wasser. If you want to hear that, definitely check out part B, which is actually the first part of our conversation. I hope this makes a lot of sense, and I hope you check out both parts and let me know what you think, because they're both pretty amazing. But I thought it would be a disservice to the fans to subject them to something that they might not care about. But I think you should check out both. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy this part. Okay, so what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about FLCL.
Is that Fooly Cooly?
That's correct.
Fooly Cooly.
Well, Fooly Cooly is the American, well, the English version.
Yeah.
It's actually in Japanese, it's Furikiri, which just basically means nothing.
Have you ever dated a Japanese girl?
I have not.
You need to date a Japanese girl.
Okay.
You do.
All right.
I think this could be right up your alley. I mean, come on. You're into anime.
Sure, but that's not my entire defining thing.
I know.
This is the brush off.
This is
see you later.
I didn't know this is the date when I came in here anyway. I was like, to me,
you need to date a Indian guy.
I mean, I'm not dating for a year.
Well, I know.
Well, that's what I'm sticking to. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was walking into. Okay, but yeah, but it's not
I
the brush off.
I shouldn't have told you. I feel really bad
come
now.
On.
Okay.
Stop
all
it.
All right.
Untethered soul.
What? You're self-conscious. That happens.
Oh, you know, life happens. Yeah.
Okay.
Gone.
It was written by Yoji Enokido and also directed by Kazuya Tsunemaki.
Okay.
And I know you don't know, but...
If I don't know, now I know.
Yeah, now you know, but you don't know who he is.
I know.
Fair enough. But, and he is actually the protege, basically, of...
I'm so embarrassed for us right now.
Why?
Just kidding. Fuck you. I'm not.
Oh,
no. I don't
I'm
know what's
totally,
going on. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing.
Okay.
Because that's if I know about this stuff and to be embarrassed about,
well, this
like,
is
not
for the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's the protege of Anno Hideki, who is by far one of the really, really strongest anime directors of modern day. Mm-hmm. He created and directed Neon Genesis Evangelion, which a lot of people cite as the greatest anime outside of Akira, and also His and Her Circumstances, which a tremendous amount of my understanding of relationships came from.
From that was it OVA?
No, His and Her Circumstances was a 26-episode TV series.
Oh, okay, I'm writing that down too. His and Her
Circumstances.
Okay, is it about dating and relationships?
Absolutely. It's about two high school students who are pretending to be something they're not, and they end up getting together, and then it charts their entire relationship from the beginning all the way to what could be argued as the end.
Yeah.
But it does it from his point of view and also then from her point of view.
Oh, wow.
And so you see events where he's like, this is the best thing ever. And then it jumps to her and she's like, this is not what I'm looking for.
Oh, no.
Like, it's really, really interesting. And it taught me a tremendous amount. And to this day, for instance, if I was on your love line phone in and the teenagers were like, I don't understand this, I'd be like, watch His and Her Circumstances because it'll explain it way good.
What year is that?
You put me on the spot. 1998. I think.
Is that when you watched it too, or that's just when it was made?
That's just when it was made. I watched it when it came out pretty much, because I watched Neon Genesis Evangelion and that was awesome. That was probably one of the best animes that I'd seen. So I was like, what else has this guy done? Like, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And then I found His and Her Circumstances and it was awesome.
That's almost like the anime version of like Woody Allen, Annie Hall,
right?
Or Manhattan or
something. Yeah, yeah. It's just a little more geared towards kids. And it also broke a lot of stereotypes about anime. There's an entire episode where they do it with stick puppets.
puppets.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, it's really interesting stuff. Anno Hideki is really about breaking the artistic barrier.
Say his name again slower because I'm not working as fast as you.
Sure. Anno Hideki.
Anno Hideki.
Hidaki. Yeah.
Hidaki. Anno Hideki.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also known as Hideki Anno. Because in Japan, they flip it, but whatever.
Okay.
I'll send you a follow-up email with
I don't know what to reference. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'll ask you.
So this guy is his protege, because Anno got incredibly fed up with anime production in general and quit. But this was his right-hand man. And so in his directorial debut, he made FLCL Frikiri, which basically is a coming-of-age story about a young boy who lives in a nameless town and the relationships that kind of he deals with. And there is storyline to it, but it's loose and interpretational. And it's really a very personal project from the director himself, because he basically took everything that he likes and kind of crammed it in there. He loves spicy curry.
Yeah.
So that's definitely in there.
So funny you made the characters not like it, or so many of them react badly to it.
Right. Well, yeah. Some of them like it and some of them don't.
Yeah.
And we'll get into why that happens. But this is a way for him to kind of get his own voice into the storytelling mode. So I realize now that after I had you watch it in preparation for this episode, you haven't seen anime. You haven't seen a whole lot.
No.
Yeah. So this was not the best choice for me to give you.
That's okay.
On your first one in, because it's really weird and abstract. It's just not like a normal anime.
I'm weird and abstract, though.
Well, I know, and that's one of the awesome things about you, but if I wanted to introduce you to anime in general, maybe give you one with a coherent storyline might have been a good choice.
What would that have been? Because you gave me a choice.
I gave you three. I was actually thinking that probably what I would have suggested instead for you would be either Black Heaven or Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop?
Cowboy Bebop.
Hold on, wait, hold on. Black Heaven. This is podcast gold. Cowboy Bleak Blop?
Whoa.
What is it?
Bebop.
Bebop. This is so paint by numbers anime. Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cowboy Bebop is one of the greatest animes of all time. The work that will define itself a new genre. That's the tagline.
Oh my God. That's like that Eggers book where it's a heartbreaking work of staggering genius.
Yeah, there
you
go. Right.
I mean, the tagline of Cowboy Bebop is what?
The work that will define a new genre itself.
The work? Okay.
And I have to say, it kind of does.
Define a new... Oh my God.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
Is this Japanese?
Yes.
All right.
But it's got the best... music. It's about rhythm and blues.
Oh my
and
God.
Like,
well, thanks a lot. I would have watched Black Heaven or Cowboy Bebop. Oh, well.
If you want to go and watch it and then come back on the show.
I'll do it every 3 months. I'll be like the quarterly guest. Yeah.
Great.
I'll learn. It's like, maybe I just got into anime. We'll find out, but go on.
Sorry. Yeah, sure. Cowboy Bebop. That's a huge one. That's probably the number one requested series for me to do.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting, because whenever we do it, I've got six people that want to get in on it.
Oh, wow.
And
I'll just slow you down. Don't have me there. I'll be like,
no.
What, guys? What do you mean?
No.
Cowboy Bleep Off?
Whenever you're around, I feel like we can do anything. So it'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Who listens to this? How many people out there are listening?
Thousands.
Yeah?
Way more than your podcast.
I bet.
Tons.
I bet. You've been doing it for a lot longer than I have.
Sure.
Show me the numbers. Just kidding. But do you guys have a following?
Well, as you know, or maybe it might be different.
It's hard. You got to grow your audience.
Yeah, it might be different on your end. You actually have an established online presence and people know you, and you've been doing this for years. This is new to me. We have gotten feedback. I know some people listen because I have a Instagram account that's Anime Addict and people comment on it.
Yeah.
And I also have a Twitter, although I'm really bad about Twitter.
Listen, if you put this out as is,
you
do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to push this episode so hard on my social media.
Thank you.
Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter.
Thank you.
Just because I want people on my end that I know, or whatever my following is or whatever that is, I want them to hear me talking to you, not only about your breakup, the Father John Misty meeting here, and then hearing me embarrass myself talking about anime.
It's going
to
be great.
That would be my pleasure. It would be my pleasure to push this episode. This is beautiful, this journey we're going on, whatever.
No, I'm a huge fan.
My God.
I'm so happy that we're doing this.
Me too. Okay,
so this is my final view. I will release it in two separate parts, but I'll release them at the same time.
Okay, if you want. But I'm just saying it's harder to do that because then you're going to force people to like go to two different spots.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Nobody's going to do that for me on my end. My lazy hipster audience.
You're absolutely right.
My asshole hipster
right.
jerks.
Okay.
Are so fucking.
No.
You know?
Way to love your fans.
I'm just kidding. Think about it.
I'll think about it and then maybe we'll do a,
surprise
a time code.
We'll
All right, we'll talk. Man, now I forgot what I was talking about.
You're talking about Fooly Cooly. You're talking about Blip Blop.
Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah. Sorry, see?
I told you. No, it's okay.
Cowboy Blip Blop. Bebop. I'm just making fun of myself.
I also love it. You should also check out the Hot Kenden. That's really good.
What is it called?
The Hot Kenden.
The Hot Kenden?
Yes.
That sounds like some kind of weird. Wait, what is it?
It's the T-H-E, Hot Kenden. H-A-K-K-E-N-D-E-N.
The Hot Kenden.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Not to be confused with the remake. So there were two. There was an original series OVA.
Why are you doing this to us?
Because I'm trying to help you.
Okay. this is going to hurt me more.
No, this is great. You. But that's one of my all-time favorite animes as well. Check out the OVA because that came out in 98, 99, and it's amazing. And then they redid it in, I don't know, 2008, 2009, and it's ugh.
All right. I watch Fooly Cooly.
Right. We watch Fooly Cooly. Do you want to sum it up?
Me?
Yeah. God. Give a summary of it.
This is what I
want to hear it.
I gathered.
Do it.
So I'm watching this show.
Yeah.
Living my life.
Yeah.
Started watching real late.
Okay.
All right. Didn't realize it was going to be about 3 hours or like 2.5 hours of stuff.
Let's
Six episodes, 24 minutes. One of them was a half hour. It's about this kid. Okay. He's living in a city. Living in a city where nothing amazing happens. Only ordinary stuff happens.
I have to ask.
Yeah.
Did you watch the sub or the dub?
The sub.
Okay.
You told me to watch the sub.
I did.
I didn't watch the dub. So, okay, so I think I may not have understood a lot of it, okay? But this is why this is going to be funny.
No,
okay?
This is great.
This like telephone game of anime.
Yeah.
You were like, it's about rock and roll stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I love musicians. I've dated rock and roll people. Or right up my gosh
darn
alley.
This is why I recommended it. I realize now I should have done something more coherent, but go ahead.
Well, that's fine. So there's a girl who's taller than him. I couldn't tell if it was his sister, if they're related. Maybe that means I'm racist. I don't know what my problem is. But I'm like, wait, is she older than him? He seems much younger, but she's flirting with him, wants to have sex. And then both of them miss this phantom brother, right? There's some brother somewhere, right?
Yeah.
They see a plane. They're like, maybe that's the brother. So there's this brother that we never see, that we always are wondering about. And this, the girl misses him. And I think she transfers her love and missing the brother onto the young boy.
Yeah.
She puts that on his younger brother and kind of sexually accosts him, I feel like. He's not into it. He's saying no. And yet it's almost like he's saying no, but whatever. He's
into
it.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Who knows? You know,
no,
it's
stop,
unfair.
Dot,
yeah.
Dot, dot.
Yeah, but just because, like, you know, men say they don't, whatever.
No, it is. I mean, she's molesting him.
She's
I'm not
like
gonna
molesting
lie.
Him.
Yeah, she is totally. So what you're talking about, a 12-year-old boy, his name is Naoto.
12?
Yeah, he's 12.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we'll get into it. He had an older brother who left. He hangs out with his brother's ex-girlfriend. And then also, as is wont with most anime, there's always the male protagonist that, for some mystical reason, a bunch of different girls all like him, and he has to kind of pick which one he was going to be with. What I liked about this show was that most of the girls who like him don't like him for him. They like him for these weird phantom reasons, and there's only one that actually likes him for him, which I think is really cool. So the girl that you're talking about is Minami, who is basically his older brother's ex-girlfriend. She's a high school student, and she misses the brother so much that she basically attaches and, like you said, transfers her attraction to the little brother, who reminds her enough of the older brother that she can kind of basically get off.
Oh my God.
Now,
and her undies are always showing. Her little short skirt is all blowing up in the wind all the time. What's that all about? Disgusting.
That is something called fan service.
Yeah, okay. And fan service?
Fan service.
Oh my
God. And that is a lot of anime. There's some anime that it's not in, but there's a lot of anime because they make bank on basically making these attractive characters and then drawing them in scant outfits and selling it on posters, or they'll make little statues or whatever. Japan is a sexually repressed country. You were there. So this is how it comes out. And so it's something called fan service. And there's a whole sub-series of anime called ecchi, which is basically TNA anime. But this is not an ecchi series, but they do have panty shots. It's something that's very hard to get away from because a lot of people, when they tune in, they expect it.
No, so they don't watch porn over there? They watch this because it's less,
oh,
like,
they
in
do
your
both.
Face? They
do both.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there is pornographic anime. It's called hentai. I do not recommend you watch it. Don't write that down.
There's ecchi and then there's hentai. So ecchi is one step before hentai?
Correct. Ecchi is, I don't know, Porky's, you know?
Oh my God. Oh, okay.
Or like Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, I love Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, well, it's a great movie. But then hentai is hardcore.
Okay.
depending. Did you write that down?
I did because I'm learning stuff and I'm taking notes. I know, but it's like tactile kinesthetic.
I don't want
it's
you
like
to go watch
visual.
Anime and then be like,
I'm not
going to
write that down.
Well, I just don't want you to watch hentai and be like,
I can't believe you forced this down my throat. This is crazy. Well, no, I'm not going to watch. I'm not.
Good.
Okay, so who is the one who likes him for him, or we'll get there?
We'll get there.
Okay,
This is what I think is really interesting. Everybody misses this phantom older brother that you're talking about, and he basically was a high school baseball player who was incredibly talented and got recruited by an American team. So he flew to America. That's the plane shot that you're talking about. And his little brother misses him terribly. Without him, he's lost. His girlfriend, or his ex-girlfriend, because pretty soon in the first episode, you see that his older brother sent him a letter and he's like, I got a new girlfriend and she's blonde. But I think, did you ever see The Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. So it's like Margot.
Exactly.
And
that they both love Richie. And so that was the attraction.
Richie is Owen Wilson? Or no, Luke is...
Richie is Luke, the tennis player. And then Owen is the...
Who she bonds with.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well,
okay, yeah.
Bonds, but yes. Yeah. But so I think it's something like that. By the way, just to be clear, I don't think they actually have sex. I think she just gives him a hickey. I think they just make out. She doesn't quite have sex with a 12-year-old, but she does definitely molest him hardcore.
Yeah.
And then she's also doing, I guess, like we talked about, self-destructive things. She's smoking. I particularly like that she writes on her cigarette, "Never knows best."
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a great little nod to the fact that she's so lost.
Yeah.
That she's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I never know best.
Knows best. Yeah.
And when I first watched this years ago, I thought she was really cool. I thought she was this cool high school chick that was really into the 12-year-old or whatever.
She's just lost and twisted and kind of irritating.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
Exactly. And also, she's apparently dirt poor because she wanders around and lives under a bridge and begs scraps of bread off of his family. And then also gets bullied at her school, which I didn't catch that at all. But she gets bullied and thrown in the river, and people just don't respect her. And I was like, wow. And then one of the things that was very interesting to me was that the 12-year-old Naoto, I guess because of his love for his brother, but I also think he digs her too.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's
an attractive older woman as well.
Older, she's in high school.
Right, which is older than 12.
Yeah, older than him. Yeah, I know. You're like, she's an attractive older woman.
In his eyes. Oh, she's so hot.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
You're going to get me in trouble.
I won't.
But I think he's infatuated with her because of that. And so he starts latching onto her. And into, I guess, this whole mix, Haruka comes, and she is this pink-haired, yellow-eyed, crazy 17-year-old on a Vespa, which is a scooter.
She's like an alien, though, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Big reveal. Yeah. She's an intergalactic space police person, basically. And she bangs him in the head with a particular type of bass. Did you know about this bass? Were you able to recognize it, given your musician love?
No. Bass, guitar, she hits him over the thing. See, I didn't even think it was a reveal. I thought from early on she kind of came from the sky and you could see her coming from the sky. Or maybe I just intuit, I don't know.
Oh, no, you're probably right. She hits him with a Rickenbacker 4001 bass.
Not that cool. I don't know. I usually date drummers. My bad. Father John Misty, it was Josh Tillman. He was the drummer of Fleet Foxes before Father John Misty.
Oh, everything becomes clear. Okay. Side note, did you make out with Aubrey Plaza for the video?
Yeah, she kissed me.
And then killed you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was that cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't bad.
It's just something, I think
we're both hungry. I don't know. I don't really know her, but I know that I was like, I'm hungry. Maybe she's starving. But she was real sweet. I don't know if she's nice. I don't know her at all.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. She puts on this really interesting front. Anytime she's interviewed or whatever, she goes out of her way to be weird. And I was just curious, is that just how she is? Or is she just...
I would love to know more about her, but I don't know her.
Oh,
so I can't even speak to that, but I think she's so cool.
Oh, I mean, she's amazing.
Cool and sexy and badass and talented.
Sure.
One day, maybe we'll be friends. Maybe she'll hear this and I'll be like, evil hag, because that's her handle,
right?
On social media.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have her on my podcast one day.
Boom.
And like become best friends and be like, who are you?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me everything.
Let me know when that happens.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'll be like, this is Mason.
Hey. I'll just be like, hi, I'm the Meltdown Side.
Hi, how are you? Okay, go on.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, I don't know, what was your impressions overall? Did you like it?
Like what? Oh,
the show?
I thought you were talking about Kissing Aubrey Plaza.
No, we're done with that.
We're done with that.
I would imagine everybody likes that.
I'm sure everybody would like it.
Yeah, so we're good.
Oh, yeah, well...
I mean, did you understand what
Okay,
what,
so hold on.
Wait,
so, so hold on. So then here's what I understand, because I did get lost, and this is where you can help me.
Sure.
So all these things are happening. There's a storyline with his dad is kind of irritating and annoying.
Yeah,
right?
His mother's gone. We don't know what
Mom's
happened
gone,
to her.
The family's broken. His brother's gone in America playing baseball.
Yeah.
Then we got the ex-girlfriend who's kind of, her life seems like in shambles, and they're both kind of, I don't know. Okay, so then
she gets hit over the head
by the scooter driving alien girl who's kind of overwhelming. She's also a big character and her personality is kind of so a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
But she's there and like lives in the top bunk, even though it's the brother's bunk, and she's
the issue, right? Because initially he's like, you can't stay there. So the alien Haruka shows up, bangs him in the head with a base, and then starts following him because she wants to see what happens.
But what's living in his head, though? Remember, there's that big thing. And he pulls it out. So what happens? Yeah. So,
okay. Well, which part do you want to talk about first?
No, you go. Do you take it? I don't know.
Okay. What ends up happening is he goes to the hospital, but she impersonates the nurse. She ties up and drugs the nurse and the doctor, and then tries to get him. And he runs home, and she ends up moving in as a housekeeper to help him. And also at the same time, he starts having what look kind of like horns grow out of his head.
Kitty ears, though, right?
That was on episode 3, yeah. Each episode he has something different grow out of his head. Mm-hmm. So the first couple episodes it was like horns. The third episode was kitty ears. And then it's back to horns and stuff. All right, so we're going to break it down. What happened when she hit him with her alien base, she opened up this thing called an NO portal, which basically took the place of his brain.
Oh, wow.
So when it's activated, an NO portal is like a wormhole that can pull stuff from anywhere. And so he can pull basically giant robots out of his head. And also different stuff. I believe everybody has a bass that is a symbol of their essence, but he has a guitar because he's the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Haruka is looking for this guy called the Pirate King, who supposedly is an intergalactic thief because he has the biggest NO portal ever, and he can use it to supposedly steal entire galaxies.
Is that the guy with the eyebrows?
No.
Okay, sorry.
We'll get to that guy. He's never actually shown. He's just kind of embodied. Anytime the guy goes red, that's the power of the Pirate King. His name is Atomisk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the deal. So Haruka moves in and starts keeping an eye on him because every episode he has robots jump out of his head that are from this thing called Metal Mechanica, which is this factory in the town, and it's shaped like a giant iron, and we don't really understand what they're there for, but for whatever reason, they are also seeking the Pirate King.
Yeah.
So yeah, so she's looking for Atomisk, basically, and she figured out that Naoto has the ability to pull him in certain situations. He can pull Atomisk's power into him at some point. The first robot that comes out of his head is a Metal Mechanica, and then I think the second one is Kanti, who is this like kind of cute TV head robot who ends up becoming the butler. And then whenever they have to fight the robot, Kanti will absorb Naoto, he'll eat him, and he'll turn red and become the Pirate King power. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but then, and then they introduce...
But real quick about the bed. You were talking about the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, Haruka wants to sleep up top in the top bunk, and Naoto is like, no, that's my brother's bunk.
So he's like reserving it for
the absentee.
Out of respect.
Exactly. So she's like, fine, I'll sleep down here next to you.
Yeah.
That, of course, makes him decidedly uncomfortable. He's strange and confusing feelings, doesn't know what to do with it. So he's like,
boundaries.
Yeah. So you can go up. And she clearly has no boundaries.
Yeah.
If she's not hitting on Naoto, she's hitting on the father. And it's
she's
crazy.
Like, I met you first. And she can subliminally talk to him, right? Wasn't that it? Was I confused where it's like, because it was subtitled, so I wasn't sure if it was who's saying it, or subliminal.
Yeah. You may be right. I took it to be that this is what he's upset about. So when she starts moving in on the father, he looks at her and he's like, how could you do this?
I met you first.
I met you first.
Which means she's not going to mess with the dad.
How could you mess with my dad? You met me first.
Yeah.
But he's saying it from her point of view. He's like, don't you remember that you met me first?
Got it.
Yeah.
Now I understand. I misread the subtitle.
No. I mean, your thing is equally valid. They could very well be connected telepathically. That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, that makes way more sense. So who's the guy with the bushy eyebrows? And then at one point, and then all of a sudden, it turns into this whole other thing where there's people and it's a whole mission and like all these people that kind of come out.
Right.
Well, that's who the bushy eyebrow guy is related to, where it's
Captain Amato.
They're trying to get her. She's part of a force to try to find the red guy.
Yes,
exactly. That's all. Okay. And then I don't know. I don't want to go too far down, but at the end of episode 6, the end of the series, the YouTube was like, I'm sorry, there's a glitch. It's over.
What?
I don't even know. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe it. So that's why I was like waiting. I didn't want to tell you that before we did the podcast.
Oh my God.
I wanted that to be part of this
experience.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Because I like came that far and then I'm like, and then there's a big fight and there's all this stuff happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm like, okay, good. You can tell me.
Yeah,
I can tell you. Okay, so
sure.
Go. Yeah.
Well, how far did you get?
Oh, the final episode.
I know, but where'd the glitch happen?
I don't.
What was the last thing you remember?
Oh, God, the guy with the bushy eyebrows.
Oh, wow, that's it?
Maybe so.
Okay.
Just tell me how it wrapped up.
Okay, so she moves in. She starts sleeping in the top bunk. He's pissed at her. He tries to get together with Minami, who is cool with using him for sex or makeout, but doesn't seem to want anything more, which I thought was really sad, but it's because she's in love with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to school, and we're introduced to the other girl, the girl that I like, who also had long hair and bangs, at least
in
the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I felt very cool, like I belonged when I was watching that. I'm like, oh, okay, I belong here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's definitely one of my faves of all time. Her name is Nina Mori.
Oh, wow.
And she's the daughter of the mayor of the town. And as it turns out, her father is having an affair with his secretary. And one of my favorite scenes in the whole series is when she's in the back seat of the car. The secretary is driving her.
Yeah.
And they have this whole conversation about, you're a very adult little girl. You understand what's going on. And the little girl clearly hates this woman.
She's like, you're very adult. You pretended to leave, or you brought another change of clothes.
Yeah, you slept over last night, but you brought a new suit so that people wouldn't know. And she's Eri Nina Mori. She has her shit together, man. She's like super tight. She's class president. She's dealing with this stuff that's going on with her parents, but she's tight. And she likes Naoto for Naoto. And how we know this because in one of the episodes, she rigs the election so that he is cast as the cat in Puss in Boots and she's cast as the lead so that she knows they have to be together. But
yeah,
he won't do the extracurricular play.
Yeah, even though he has the ears, it's so perfect.
Right, but he's ashamed of the ears.
Yeah, I know.
Even though apparently they're a huge erogenous zone.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's when the crazy alien lady was rubbing them.
Yeah. Well, everybody rubs them. That's why she's able to manipulate him. She's like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this for me? And he's like, no. And then she rubs the ears. I mean, sexual innuendo is rife throughout this entire anime.
Even when the cops are called. Remember we were when the cops come by and they're interviewing the alien girl and the creepy cop is checking out the scene. He's trying to look in her upper legs and see her undies or her privates or whatever. And then the kid comes in and is, what are you doing? You're an adult or whatever. Or something.
Right.
Like, I was just thought like, oh my God, there are all these, you know, very suggestive adult moments. So like, this is not just for kids, you know, it's intense. Yeah.
No, that's definitely
a lechy and creepy. Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Etchy, one might say.
Oh yeah. Etchy.
You got it.
Yeah, now it's all coming together.
Exactly, see?
I'm not going near etchy. I'm not going near etchy.
Don't do it.
I won't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't even get me started on henty. Or what is it called? Henty? Hentai?
Yes.
That's what I said.
Hentai.
Okay.
I want to make sure you know only so that you stay away.
I'm not even there.
Good.
I'm done.
I'm glad.
Done.
I'm happy for you.
Okay.
In the future, all the stuff that I recommend to you will be
top notch.
Yeah.
Highbrow.
Well, this is what I wanted to talk about. This anime is very decisive. A lot of people think it's complete and total bullshit. It makes no sense. It's like a David Lynch film.
Yeah,
like,
I love David Lynch.
Me too.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that this anime is a work of genius, that it deals with a lot of really strange and confusing topics and feelings, and it does so in a very artful and compelling way. So I was just curious, like, which one did you come down on?
I felt like, okay, well, maybe more interested in anime. And also, I knew that, like, I had an openness and a willingness to glean deeper meaning from it. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I was, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm going to get the meaning of life or like very intense themes in this thing. Because I felt like it dealt with, I don't know, maybe I just think Asian people are better or something.
Wow.
Or, I mean, I don't know. That's not true. But
that's
I mean,
a statement.
I'm not saying that. But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I thought, okay, it's a cartoon, right? It's anime. So you could look at it and go, this is for kids. Or this is just but really, there's such an opportunity, and that they do sprinkle all these like intense things in there, whether it's dirty or risque or whatever, bizarre.
Right.
But also it like deals with like searching and loneliness and meaning and, you know, and morals. And I don't know. And I was thinking, like, who are the people making these things? Are they taking psychedelics? Are they, what are they trying to say? And I bet if I got deeper in anime, which this has like been my entry point.
Sure.
It makes me want to look deeper and be like, okay, do others deal with, you know, obviously aliens, life after death, the meaning of life.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
sure.
It seems like this is such like a palatable, mm-hmm. interesting, bizarre, cool, fun way to explore all these deeper things without people being like, well, I'm not interested in that. That seems scary or something. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, absolutely. And I will say this. One of the things that I really like about anime in general is, A, there's an anime about anything, just about anything you can think of.
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking for an existential meaning of life thing, sure.
That's all I want.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would recommend Haibane Renmei and also Serial Experiment Lane.
Email me later.
Sure.
Okay.
But also, what I like about it is, basically, they will take the most random topic that you're like, I don't even understand what could be good about this, and turn it into a pretty amazing series.
Yeah.
For instance, Prince of Tennis, where it's about this dude like learning tennis.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh my God, I hope he makes it.
Oh my God.
Or and then there's Hikaru no Go, where it's just a kid learning Go. And my current one that I'm watching right now,
Go.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you know Go?
I've heard about that. My friend kept referencing it. Yeah.
Sure. It's like,
they have tournaments for it, right?
They do. They have an American version called Othello.
But it's like a metaphor for life, right? There are a million different options.
You can look at it that way. It's basically just putting stones on a board.
And okay.
So you have black stones, I have white stones, and there's a grid. And you can put it on anywhere that the grid intersects. But if at any point I get my colored stones on either side of your colored stones, they switch and become mine. So in other words, if you put a black stone here and I put a white stone here and I put a white stone here, the one in between flips and becomes a white, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that can take place over the entire board. So they just have to be connected.
Okay.
So that, and you can put it anywhere you want, but then it becomes this whole thing where they're like, if I put it here, then he'll put it here and flip like 40 of these stones. Oh, and it becomes this deep thing. It's like chess.
Yeah.
Sort of. Like I said, they can take anything. Oh, the one that I'm currently watching right now, Shokugeki, mm-hmm. which is a cooking competition anime.
Really?
Oh, it's great. I'm a huge cook. I'm a huge foodie. I don't know if you caught that. If you look at my Instagram, it's all podcasting and food.
Oh my God. Well, I love to eat.
Hey,
yeah.
I love eating and cooking.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Molecular gastronomy.
This guy. Oh God.
But yeah, totally check it out. They have this one where it's this kid and he's like, he's worked in a diner his whole time. And his father is this secret, internationally renowned super chef. And he's like, well, you got to go to school. So I'm going to pull some strings. And he gets him into the utmost elite cooking academy in Japan, where if you screw up a dish, you're gone. And it's got all these chefs that are, my knife work is so good, I can carve the Mona Lisa into potato. And
oh, like, my God.
It's called Food Wars in America, but it's Shokugeki no Soma is the American.
Anime?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you seen Master Chef Junior?
I've seen Master Chef.
Master Chef Junior is amazing. It's with like 8-year-olds who are so good at what they
do. Yeah,
yeah. And they got these little kids, and there's like one from New Jersey, and he's got like an accent, but he's like tiny and looks so cute and a little like he's like a rug rat, and he's like making cool stuff.
That's awesome.
And they're so talented, and they're so graceful in the way they live.
Right.
And they're talented. It's crazy.
No,
it's
love
funny.
It.
Yeah.
Well, then you might like this show too.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan of Chopped. I've seen Chopped Kids, Chopped Teen. I'm also a huge fan of Cutthroat Kitchen.
Oh my God. Is that Gordon Ramsay?
No, that's Hell's Kitchen. Cutthroat Kitchen is Alden Brown, who also did Good Eats. But Cutthroat Kitchen is basically four chefs who come in, and they're each given $25,000. And then Alton assigns them a dish. They have 1 minute to shop for their ingredients, and then they go and start cooking.
Yeah.
And then he brings out sabotages. So he'll be like, hey, chefs, win this sabotage, and your opponent loses all of their basket and has to get all of their basket out of this whatever thing that's related. So if it's a hero sandwich, then it'll be something to do with heroes. So they'll be strung up on strings, and they have to do everything flying or something like that. And then you bid. And so they'll be like, $500, $1,000, whatever. So you only walk away with what you keep. So you start with $25,000, and you bid sabotages, and then you apply them to the other chefs, and whoever wins.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah.
Where are we talking about?
I'm worried about my meter, though, because it's going to be...
Are you on meter?
I am on meter.
Why didn't you park in the back?
Because I didn't know. I did a 2-hour meter. I thought, you know, because I do have to
Do you want to go move your car?
No, I have to. I do have to leave at like 6:35 or, I mean, because then it would have been 2 hours, or 6:45. Then it would have been 2 hours.
Okay. And you got to go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you think?
No, I mean, we still have time. I've got 10 more minutes. I just wanted to let you know because I don't know. I was
no, no. I hear you. I'm trying to. We got to wrap it up. What was your favorite part?
my favorite part, but you're going to tell me how it ended in the glitch.
Oh, right. Okay. So
the intergalactic, all the shit is happening. Robots are all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So...
guy with the eyebrows. Who is the guy with the eyebrows?
The guy with the eyebrows.
I didn't get that.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a common theme in a lot of anime that basically there's the person and the person that they're focusing on. So in this case, it's Haruka, the alien, and the person that she's focusing on, which in this case is Naoto. But there's also the one that she focused on before the previous attempt. And that one was Captain Amaro. And she opened up an NO portal in his head. But it wasn't strong enough. It was small, as is referenced by the fact that she can only pull out a little base from his head, which is, you know, an indication that he wasn't as good or whatever.
Yeah.
So
as a 12-year-old.
Right. But he's never gotten over her. And for some reason, he lost his eyebrows. So what he did was he took sheets of nori, of dried seaweed, and cut weird rectangle shapes and put them where his eyebrows would be. And so everyone's
funny.
Like, always those eyebrows.
I know. I actually like them.
Oh, no. It was cool.
I like them.
But that's why. And that's why he gave fake eyebrows to Naoto when he's trying to get him away from her. Because at some point, a Tomisk comes out of Naoto and goes into Kanti, the robot, and Haruko just leaves. And they go off together and do whatever. And that's when Naoto realizes that he's in love with her, Haruka. And he is horribly depressed that she's not there. He can't handle it.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and is hanging with his dad and the whole thing. It's a rough deal. But during that time, Captain Amano was like, here, take these eyebrows, and realize that you should be with someone basically of your own species. Why don't you go hang with your high school girl? Because don't get involved with this woman. She only cares about herself. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was really interesting because it's true. And I also really related to that in that I've watched my friends be with people that they shouldn't be with.
Yeah.
And you actively are like, why are you doing this? They are no good for you. They don't care about how they're hurting you or the world. They only care about themselves. Don't be with these people.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, I'll follow my feelings and that's that. And you can't pick who you love, I guess, but it's intense. And it was really hard to watch that. And then, of course, I think this whole setup kind of cued in on it, which I thought was really interesting.
I've seen variations on that where it's my friends like somebody who completely ignores them, who will not have them, you know?
Oh, yeah,
and go,
right.
Put your attention on somebody who has a willingness and is available to you. So that's like this unrequited love thing. And then people who are in mismatch relationships where I feel like, oh God, my guy friend is going out with this girl who's totally controlling. Oh,
yeah.
And he's changing and I don't like that. But you can't tell someone, they've got to figure out for themselves.
Yeah, they got to learn it.
So horrible and irritating. And then, I don't know.
That's what I think is happening here is he's trying to tell him. But like we said, you know, Nato's just got to learn it. So how it ends is she actually comes back because Atomus disappeared, went away, or whatever. So she comes back, and Naoto's head is the only head that's going to work. She actually starts an affair with the father because she thinks that because he's Naoto's father, his head might work.
I saw that, though, right? That was in the series. Mm-hmm. In the six episodes, in the thing. Okay,
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All there is right now is a six-episode OAV series. However, Cartoon Network, ever since they showed this, has had such a diehard fan base that's been clamoring for more. So actually, I just found out that they just got greenlit for a 2 seasons TV series starting 2017.
Oh my God, on Cartoon Network called what?
FLCL, called the TV series.
But they would say, would it be in America? Or would it
it's a co-production between Gainax and Cartoon Network.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, my God. What do you think the metaphor for... that doesn't have to be a metaphor, but I know it's just a story. But do you think, is that it with the relationships? And or what do you think? Is there a bigger meaning, a bigger thing to take away from this series?
Oh, absolutely. I think the entire thing is basically learning to move from being a child to being an adult. That's usually what they talk about in the entire series, where it's just kind of like, oh, you must be an adult now. You drink sour drinks. Oh, you must be a kid, because you, like, Haruka is like, do you want to run away with me? And almost in the same breath, she's, you're still a kid. And in fact, at the end, the part that you missed was,
fuck.
Yeah, no, I recommend you retry to watch it.
Yeah.
But basically, the giant robots are coming and they're going to activate the iron and erase existence, basically iron out the wrinkles, as they put it.
Mm-hmm.
Medical Mechanica. And Naoto basically grows up, realizes his own self-worth. He breaks up with Minami and he wants to be with Haruko, and he actualizes himself and receives the power of Atomisk. And so he becomes this all-powerful being, stops the robot. And at that point, Haruka reveals her true colors. She's like, I'm the one that's supposed to have Atomisk's power. and I hate you. So she starts attacking him.
Yeah.
And he like defends and defends because he's all powerful at this point. And then he lands in front of her and he powers down. She thinks he's going to try to kill her. And he's just like, I love you. And then he kisses her and she's just like, oh, but the whole point, it's not about them getting together. It's about him actualizing and taking a step on being himself and saying how he feels, being a man, basically, like expressing himself, taking charge of the situation, doing that. And then Atomic Power comes out of him, wipes out all the evil robots, and flies away into the universe. And Haruka is like, okay, I'm leaving because what I want isn't here anymore.
Yeah.
And then she's, thanks, kid, but you're a kid.
Yeah. You think he'd go? And then we don't know if he goes back to the girl who actually accepted him for who he is, right? We don't know.
It's hinted. You don't know.
We don't see it, but...
You know, at the very end, the very last scene is... So obviously Minami, the high school reject, leaves and goes and becomes a photographer. She was taking photos throughout the entire series, and they were good photos. They're artful frames. She gets a magazine deal because of her photography, and she leaves the town. Haruka obviously left to go chase after the Pirate King. And so then it goes back to Naoto, who at this point is now in seventh grade, which is junior high. So his uniform's different. He's with his same classmates and the girl that I think likes him for him.
Yeah.
And they're at a vending machine and he buys a soda and she takes the soda from him and drinks it. And at that point, she's cut her hair. It's shorter. And so she's kind of like, you know, your uniform doesn't look good. And she nags him, but it's in a
romantic, flirty way.
For anime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're clearly going to have a continuing storyline.
Does she take a sip and then give it back to him? Like they're going to share the drink? Or is even that too far? Is that too much?
No. I think that's what happens.
That is what happens?
Yeah. Like she takes a drink and she's like, here, have it back. And he's like, "That it's got too much carbonation." And she's like, oh, you're still a kid.
That's nice. But we get to think, oh, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
No, it's great. It's great.
That's so beautiful.
It's a great series. It's a great thing.
I could have gone either way after you telling me what to watch and me making a choice. I could have gone, you know what? I watched it. We talked about it. I did this podcast. Anime is not for me.
Okay.
But now I feel like I've taken copious notes.
Yeah.
I have like, I definitely want to see Black Heaven, Cowboy Bebop, His and her circumstances.
Yeah.
I want to stay away from ecchi and hentai or whatever.
Yeah, don't
staying away from that bullshit.
Don't do that.
But you converted me. So like, even though like probably usually talk to people who are, you know, more like you, where they're like into it and they get it and they're, it's old hat. At least you know that you've made me a convert.
I've planted the germ.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying.
You've converted me.
You'll come back. We'll be able to talk on the similar, deeper level. So it's good. Well, thank you, Alexi. Thank you for coming in. Is there anything that you want to promote real quick before you run out and feed your meter?
I want to say thank you for having me. Anybody actually liked listening to me on this thing, and if you want to be friends on social media, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. I'm at Alexi Wasser.
AlexiWasser.
I'm glad we're officially friends now. We had like a really great first friend date or whatever the fuck
I'm
this
glad.
Is. Okay.
Thank you. I'm honored. And I know you have to go, so I'm going to let you run out.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming. And I hope to have you again. I can't.